So our next storyteller, as I find my spot here, is from California. He first came to Viroqua as a student at Thoreau College 5 years ago, and now he's back in town as a student teacher at Youth Initiative. The title of his story is called Hello from Somewhere. Please welcome Jacob Rowland.
I started learning a foreign language because I wanted to be different. Not different from other people, but different from myself. Different from who I had been up until that point in my life. I think that's the reason anybody tries to learn anything, for transformation. Knowledge transforms the world around you, makes you into a different person, and nothing does that more so than learning a new language. A language is like a kind of film we place on top of the world. It makes things comprehensible. For us, there is no world without words. Maybe some people think there's a distinction between a thing and the name you call it, but for me, you can't pull the two things apart. How strange it can be then to find out that all the things in the world go by an endless number of different names across the world's languages. This isn't something like imagining seeing different colors or something. This is something you can actually experience, sometimes many times over. When you start calling the things around you by different names, that film of language just gets peeled up and something totally different gets laid down. Something like that happened to me when I was very young. I grew up in Los Angeles, and as a kid, when I was a young kid, my parents hired a woman from the neighborhood to be a babysitter. She was a lovely older woman and a devout Catholic, and she only spoke to me in Spanish. And I loved spending time with her, and after a couple weeks, I was a Spanish speaker too. I wasn't speaking English in my head and filling in every word with its Spanish equivalent. I was just speaking the language. And I would still be a Spanish speaker today if I hadn't horrified my Jewish parents every night at dinner when I started thanking Jesus for the food and and asking my parents, had they ever met this Jesus guy? After that, my parents got a different babysitter. And I didn't really think that was fair, and I still don't really think it was fair. I mean, this is the way children understand things. The things you say can't be separated from the way you say them. And it's true the other way around. The life you live in one language is different from the one you might live if you spoke a different one. Learning a new language is something like playing pretend, which is why kids are better at it than adults are. Learning a language as an adult, to be fair, isn't quite so easy. It isn't like peeling up a film and laying down a new one. It's like retiling your bathroom floor. You're dealing with these tiny little things, words and sentences. You're trying to fit them in order, but they keep slipping, or there are gaps, or they're crooked. This thing you're slowly piecing together doesn't feel like a floor you can stand on. I admit, when I started learning German, it wasn't necessarily because I wanted to become a different person. It started with my friend. I was going off to college in Ohio, and he was going to school in Berlin. He told me I should learn German, and then I could come and stay with him for the summer in Berlin. He said, "It's just like English, it's so easy, listen." Blut ist dicker als Wasser. It sounds just like English, right? Blood is thicker than water. That's the way it always starts. And so I got to college and I signed up for German 101. And in the first class, the professor started class by holding up his finger and saying, Finger. And holding up his hand and saying, Hand. Now, in any language, it doesn't actually end up being that useful to know the word for finger. What you really need is the stuff that you never even think about. I mean, you never realize how hard it is to sound smart or funny or interesting until you are literally linguistically unable to be those things. So after my first year of German, I did go to Berlin and I stayed with my friend Michael there. And as soon as my daily life started to depend on my ability to express myself in a foreign language, I started looking for hints I could give that I was a halfway intelligent person too, who had thoughts more complex than I am Jacob, I am student, I come learn talking. This was all I could say though, and I grew really depressed at what I saw as my enormous lack of articulateness. I just sort of wandered around tourist kiosks and English bookstores. The phrase books never had the things I wanted to say in them. It's not enough to have words to describe everyday language. You want language for the fantastical, too. You want to be able to say, wow, that squirrel just stole that piece of pizza from that lady, because that's something that's actually worth saying. I wanted a big button that I could walk around with pinned to the front of my shirt that said something like, I'm not an idiot. I just don't know how to say squirrel in your language, and this gives me serious doubts whether it's worth saying anything at all. What are you once you're stripped of your ability to communicate beyond bland everyday language? This was the question I was coming to face with once the novelty of being in a new place had worn off. It became clear to me that this trip had not been about sightseeing. If I hadn't realized that before, I did now. This trip for me was something like a pilgrimage, not speaking of anything dramatic, just the everyday kind of pilgrimages that we all go on in order to become different people, in order to prove that we already have become different people. To leave the places that happen to be our homes for what we feel before we've ever even been there are our real homes. I wanted to belong in this place that for me was the land of books and ideas and culture, and not where I had been born, which for me was the land of television. I wanted so desperately to be a European. I packed every piece of black clothing I owned. I practiced the methodical art of holding a cigarette the way a European does. If anyone had stopped me on the street and put a gun to my head, and the only way to save my life was to give an analysis of the themes in Kafka, well, I was prepared for that situation. Anyway. But once I got to Europe, the only thing that people told me was how American I was. And, you know, I started to think that myself. I was stomping around in my big boots, and it was kind of fun. Being an American didn't seem so bad after all. There were people in Berlin from all over the world, and suddenly I was an American. I had never thought of myself that way. I mean, I was Jacob, I was myself. I was maybe a Californian, but nothing about myself seemed to fit into some kind of American story. But over time, I just accepted it, and I started to like being from where I was from. I got out of my own head. You know, I walked around Berlin. I saw this beautiful city, mostly indifferent to me. I went south and stayed with a family in Bavaria. I lived in their treehouse for a while. And this one week, they took me out into the middle of the country to this festival. It was a Bob Dylan-themed film festival, and they went there every year to meet up with their friends from college. And we stayed for a couple days, and while they were off hanging out with their college friends, I went off on my own, and there wasn't much to do around there but sit around and drink beer, so that's what I did. And this one afternoon, I'm sitting there, and I lock eyes with this guy all the way across the grounds. And he's just got this wild look in his eye. His hair is a crazy mess. He's got a clipboard in his hand, and he's walking really fast towards me. He gets up to me, and he's practically yelling. He's speaking so fast, I still barely understand German. So I get him to slow down, and slowly I start to understand what he's saying. He's saying, "You're late, you're late, you're going on in 5 minutes." And I don't understand what's going on. And I say, "What do you mean I'm, what's happening? What do you mean I'm going on?" And he pauses. And he looks me up and down, and he's like, you are not the Bob Dylan impersonator that I hired?" That's my story. Thank you.